Here is That Which Is with John Morton. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Morton is the spiritual director of MSIA. He has given seminars and workshops worldwide for MSIA, for the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and for other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. This program is entitled Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Peace. Right after John Morton speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about John Morton and MSIA.
I was actually reading earlier today, since it is Independence Day in our nation, this nation, the Declaration of Independence. And I'm reminded that later in the course of doing that, there was a realization that there was a Bill of Rights that they wanted to make part of that declaration, and it somehow had been left out. So that was actually the first 10 amendments to the Constitution had to do with bringing in the Bill of Rights. And one of those rights is the right for peaceful assembly. You know, that is considered an unalienable right that our Creator brought to us. And so when it's interfered with in some way, those are peace words. Notice I didn't say fighting words, I said peace words. You know, that we stand up and we do what's necessary to have our gathering of peace. I think most, if not all of you, know that we've been challenged to do our gatherings of peace at Windermere. And that has been a wonderful process toward peace. And I really don't know how this will all work out in terms of how the work of the Institute will continue and how it will relate exactly to Windermere or anywhere else that we're involved. Clearly right now it's not about a place in particular, but really obviously we make this work available out in the world. And by doing this work, we find out how it works. We find out how it works with individuals. We do know that it really begins with each person, that we're all in charge of our own peace. And that is a very important beginning. And without that beginning, without any one of us discovering and realizing the peace that resides within, we don't really have much of a chance of realizing it in the world. But even though there are lots of challenges to world peace, it's really wonderful to know that there is a place in the world that has a clear dedication to peace. And that's what Windermere represents, and that's what our Institute represents. I wrote down some words from the Declaration of Independence because I thought this would be maybe a way for us to tune into this particular gathering of the Institute for Individual and World Peace, one that happens on July 4th. So I'm going to pull out my words that I wrote down, and I did this just before coming here today. In the very first part of the Declaration, and I'll remind you about the history of that, such that I know it, is that there were a group of individuals, and at that time a group of men, who were already in their own way prominent leaders from all of 13 of the British colonies that were here in this part of the world. You know, at that time, it was not called the United States. It was a colony of the British Empire. And so they had determined that certain unalienable rights were not being respected, and that the government that was governing these colonies was not respecting the rights of people, and that there was, in their determination, a tyranny. So there were some words about that as an opening, and then there was a declaration as follows. We hold these truths self-evident, that all men are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. One of the things that we've determined about the processes that lead to peace is that if we can make those processes involve what is happiness and what makes us happy, that is a process that leads to peace. So certainly the pursuit of happiness is a process that leads to peace. And liberty is the freedom. I don't have to tell you that independence in some way has to do with freedom. And liberty is a process of freedom. And this day is about freedom. And life, I would just say that's who we are. That we are those who are alive at this time and in this place. And that we are preparing a place for those who come after us. I would hope every one of us has a conscious responsibility that we accept and engage to prepare this world to be a better place. And among what that would involve is greater peace in the world. So that we have to, as part of that responsibility, do something about greater peace. In the very last part of the declaration, it says as follows, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, or of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And if you've ever seen a copy of the Declaration of Independence, then you know it's dated July 4th, 1776. And then there are a series of signatures. And so when I was looking at the copy of the Declaration of Independence, I was doing that online today, and underneath it, they had a listing of all the signers from the various 13 colonies. And I got down to Pennsylvania, and right after Ben Franklin is John Morton. Now, I knew this already, you know, that it was very interesting seeing an actual copy of the Declaration of Independence, like a life-size replica of it, and looking at it closely and looking at the names and seeing which ones I recognized, and then seeing right after Ben Franklin, right below it, John Morton. And, you know, I have obviously wondered about that, you know, that what kind of coincidence is that? But right now I'm considering it's a very on-purpose coincidence, you know, that in my life, I just find that I have an interest and a willingness to pledge to you and to myself my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor, and to bring that to bear as a dedication and a commitment. Now I'm reminded, and I hope you realize, that at that time, to do something like this was tantamount to signing a death sentence. Because to put it before the king, and they said some pretty unkind, unflattering things about the King of England. Last week, I was flipping channels, and I came across a program that was about torture and punishment of all kinds throughout history. And it was even graphic, graphic in detail and graphic in how they portrayed it, so that there were visual aspects to it and very detailed description. And I first thought, get off this. You don't want to, watch this. And then, of course, part of it was fascinating. Just, like, they did what? And how did they do this? And then something started happening to me as I watched it. And it really was transcendental in what I began experiencing, because there was something that was very holy and beautiful about whatever it is that was at the effect of these extreme forms of punishment and torture. And I realized that something very extreme was being represented by this, extreme in negativity, extreme in violence, extreme in hatred. And yet what also showed up as I considered what this was about was something very sacred and beautiful. And the reasons for the punishment and the torture, they ran the gamut. People who were guilty of crimes of various sorts. And then one of the crimes that was talked about as actually calling for the greatest form, the most severe form of punishment and torture, was high treason. And so that they talked about, and I'll just do this and we'll get on with it, drawing and quartering. And that was in Britain at the time when there was high treason against the king. Then the most severe kind of punishment was drawing and quartering. So, I looked at today, what people were basically pledging. And so when they said they pledged their life, I think they really considered that they were. And certainly their fortunes that, hey, if you do this against the king, then the king's way is your life is now over, and all that you own, and the likelihood is even your family. You've now done this to your family as well. They had that kind of means to bring this about. And the question I'm bringing up here is, what is our pledge to peace? Certainly as an institute, but also what is an institute if it isn't the people that are involved at the level of how it was founded and created, and at the level of how it functions and how it expresses itself in the world? What is our pledge to peace? And would we consider pledging to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor for the purpose of peace, to have greater peace? Or do we consider it's not really worth it? It doesn't hold the value. Well, when I look into the world that is revealing itself day to day, I see a lot of problems. And some of those problems become and appear to me more severe. That we're in a world where peace has been called for more clearly, more powerfully than ever before. And, what is my evidence? Well, my evidence is that we seemingly are more at the option of doing the greatest destruction than ever before. And that when I, practically speaking, look at what's going on in the world, I see that the option to have, what will we call, anti-peace, we'll just call it anti-peace. That which is against peace, it has never been more powerful in my way of estimating it, simply because the means, the materials, that are available to do harm and that which is against our health, wealth, and happiness and our pursuit of happiness, that has never been more extreme than right now. But what I look at too is that there's always a consciousness in our midst that can overcome the greatest darkness and the greatest negativity. So that's what I look to, is that we have a choice, and the choice is to invoke that peace, invoke the option that is with us. I don't have the way at the moment. I don't know what to tell you to do exactly. I can tell you that since we do have this institute that was established by John Roger and dedicated to individual world peace, that we are about the business of the processes that lead to peace individually and in the world. And we have elected ourselves to that purpose. I don't know to what extent we will be involved. You know, I can see a much greater extent is here for us to take a greater position in the world with what we're doing at the Institute. And I figure if someone, anyone, any entity, any organization can find the keys to individual and world peace, well, obviously, I would want to support and participate in bringing that about so that those keys and those processes are engaged in the world. And I do have a very selfish motive, and it really isn't with me, but it is with the caring that I have toward my children and our children. I find that children really get to me. I don't always act like it, but they do. And I would tell you that there's a part of me that's always watching the children and making sure that they're taken care of and they're watched over and they're protected. And a part of me that does feel responsible for any one of the children who's not being cared for, that I would step in. And I have stepped in. So I know that I have the consciousness that backs it up, that would personally put my body on the line and stop the againstness and get in the way of the againstness towards not just the children, but all of us as the children, us older children. And I consider that we're all here to do something for our children's children's children. And I know you know that goes on. And to take a place with that. I am open, you know, to knowing what that is that would fulfill the pledge to each other to give our fortunes, if that's what's required, to give our lives and to give our sacred honor toward that. So I've said it to you publicly. I put my word on the line, you know, that's what's up in my life. And I look at, well, what am I doing in this world? I know that I'm doing the processes that lead to God. And that's something that's very personal. And I know for many of you, you share that dedication, that you're doing the processes that lead to God, that's what your life is truly all about. But let us consider that on the way to God, what we are told about what are the processes that lead to God. And among those, we were told to love one another, and that's how we will know that we're doing what is called for, is that we do love one another. And where do we draw that line? loving one another? And who are our neighbors? If we're going to love our neighbors, who are they? Today we know we're in touch. We're in touch, if nothing else, because the level of communication that exists now is instantaneous. Truly, you know, somebody can be anywhere in the world, and there was a moment of peace that I did in Kandahar, Afghanistan. And I'll just tell you the story in case you haven't heard it. So I went there in January, that was a place that wasn't all that inviting to people. But I went there for the purpose to help. And I had this satellite phone that was actually given to me by one of the local cell phone companies, and they were testing it as a prototype. And they said, well, we've never tested this in Pakistan or Afghanistan, so actually, if you're going there, we'll give it to you to use unlimited, see if it works. We don't know if it works, and here's what we know about how to work it. And so they gave me a satellite phone, and for 7 days, while I was in Pakistan, and after I arrived initially in Afghanistan, I never got it to work. And I kept trying this and trying that, and I turned it on and I recharged it and tried over and over, and I got to Kandahar, and we had a moment where it was so surrealistic because I'd just driven on this road full of bomb potholes and burnt out vehicles and tanks, and I saw the city of Kandahar with all the evidence of the rubble from the bombing, etc. Just come from all of that, and they took us to a little house of sorts with a courtyard, and I was sitting in this courtyard and having one of the most peaceful moments of my life. It's a very quiet, beautiful, sunny day. And I just had some lunch with a group of the locals. And I thought, maybe I'll try that satellite phone one more time. And I got on the phone. Right away, John Roger answered. And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning in Los Angeles, and I think it was about noon or something like that where I was, and we did a moment of peace. Lord God, we come before you again. We come bringing to you, as we always do, our own troubles, our own disturbances. So we ask that you receive us as you always do, with your loving that is complete and all-encompassing. And we ask that you bring in the spirit of peace that transcends all the disturbances and all the againstness that is in this world. And we call upon your emissaries of peace, particularly those who come from the Spirit and come close to this world and touch into this world as angelic beings, as those who support us inside, who guide our consciousness toward greater good. Whatever can be done so that we let go, we release, we forgive whatever againstness, whatever causes of violence we might carry and harbor. We ask that this be done in the name of Jesus the Christ, who we can know in our heart as the Spirit of the Lord and that presence of peace that is toward all, and as the salvation of this world. This too is done. We are partaking. We are proclaiming as light bearers as peacemakers, that you have gathered us here again in the holy, sacred place that is this world and where we find ourselves. We ask that you place this gift of upliftment, of peace everlasting in the world, that it covers everything that is taking place right now. So all are visited by this spirit of peace. And though we know there are those who have closed themselves to the love, to the divine purpose that is in their heart and in their soul, we ask through your grace and through your mercy that this disturbance, whatever has closed them from the knowing of the divine, can be lifted. And so they are restored in their true nature. And we do ask you to intercede wherever men and women and children are gathered, so that what can be stopped, what can be changed, so there is greater peace, that it is done. And we do pledge and bring before you our commitment that you use us personally and individually and collectively, that we can cooperate for your cause. And you use this Institute for Individual and World Peace for the purpose for which it was established. And that you call forward those who can align with this purpose so that we are united in greater peace. We stand for peace, we live in peace, and forever we hold peace to be what is reigning supreme. Be'erush Be'Shan.
John Morton's closing words were Be'erush Be'Shan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Morton has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Morton. Thanks for joining us.